little bass clarinet improvisation to get us started out on this evening's Flipside. Our guest, the man who played that, Jorge Variego. He teaches composition and theory here at the University of Tennessee. He hails from Argentina. Now, I know you were at the University of Florida, Carnegie Mellon. You were a Fulbright scholar there, right?
Yes, yes, yes. That's how everything started. I was teaching in Argentina and doing my stuff there, and I applied for the Fulbright to study abroad, which was something I always wanted to do, and I got it. So I moved, and I did Carnegie Mellon. Then I went to Florida for my doctorate, and then I worked in North Dakota for a couple of years. Then I went to Europe for a year and a half, and then I came here, Knoxville.
Wow. Where were you in Europe?
I was in The Hague in the Netherlands. Yeah. I was really interested in the sonology, the studies and research there. So I was involved with them for a little bit more than a year, and that was a great experience. You know, for what I do now, that was a very positive experience, I think. Yeah.
Tell me exactly, what is sonology?
So that's the main question it's been the question for years. And I don't think the answer to that is that, the answer that people give you there is that they don't know. And the fact that they don't know means that it's always changing, therefore evolving and moving forward even faster than you can actually create a concept for. So I like to think it that way. It's the study of course, it's the study of sound and the study of of instrument design, of analog systems and digital instrument design, and how to deal with the different properties of electronic music in particular. Yeah, it's very broad.
Well, let's go all the way back to Argentina, your home country.
Yeah.
Did you start out studying standard classical music, or were you interested in computers and sound computers from a very early age? How did it all formulate?
That was a very, very bumpy road. And because I started playing clarinet from the, you know, classical standpoint. And of course, I wanted to play saxophone because it was shiny. So that's what I did. But I started with the clarinet, and that's my instrument from the classical. I did this, my etudes and everything from the very beginning. Then I moved into composing a little and arranging for this group that I gave you a CD for, and then that's how things started.
And your compositions now definitely are very modern, but this recording, the first one we'll listen to is, we'll hear a track from Calle 6, Tango Contemporáneo. This is more straight ahead.
It is.
It's a lot more straight ahead. Do you love the straight ahead stuff as well?
I do. And I think that going through academia makes you an intelligent composer, not necessarily one that you would like to listen to, right? So I when I recorded that CD with Calle 6, I was in a group with friends, and we would play anything that anyone brought. At that time, we didn't realize how unique that space was, because we could all play and we could all write. And so we brought things and, you know, we discarded, we play, some things work, some things got changed and adapted. And that was a good start. Now, then I went through academia and I learned a lot about what I was doing. So I became more aware of the techniques and things. And that's, you know, one of my CDs in the middle that I gave you is the result of that. But now I'm trying to balance those things. You know, I'm trying to write pieces that I would like to listen to again.
If you just tuned in to this evening's Flipside, our guest is Jorge Variego. We're going to listen to something from his recording Calle 6. This is a track called Tanti Anni Prima, a composition from Astor Piazzolla.
Thank you.
from a recording called In Vivo from Calle 6. That was Jorge Variego on the clarinet, Astor Piazzolla's Tanti Anni Prima. Jorge Variego is our guest on this evening's Flipside. He teaches composition and theory here at the University of Tennessee, but also has put out a lot of his own wonderful original music. When did you start really composing in earnest?
Well, that wasn't that first group that I gave in Casa Seis.
Yeah,
it was the thing is I was trying to arrange a tune, and the level of transformation that I was handling made the tune almost unrecognizable. So you know, I went so far that it was mostly my hand and actually what the you would do as an arranger. It wasn't that. So people told me, well, you know, this is good, but it should be your tune because we can barely recognize the original. And then that kept me thinking. And another friend told me, you know, I have this great teacher that you should visit and maybe take her for some private lessons. And that's how it started. Yeah.
Were you also at this point listening to things like, I don't know, Radiohead and contemporary rock music, or were you never interested in that kind of thing?
A little, but not that much. I was mostly listening to jazz. I really like, you know, kind of blue all the time. Or I had a CD, the ballad CD by Dexter Gordon that you may know. I'm sure you do. And I'm a one-man, one recording person. So I listened to it, like, you know, for months, just one CD. And those were my main lines. You know,
your obsessions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. And you know, Coltrane,
Ornette Coleman was in there. I
Ornette
would
imagine. Coleman a bit, yes. I started to appreciate his work later. I was mostly focused on phrasing and how you could recognize, you know, Dexter's playing just from the second note, right, or even the first, and that thing like always kept bouncing on my head, or the sonorities of Gil Evans' arrangements, you know, and Bill Evans' voicings and things like that. They're still in my pieces. I think that stays. So I was listening mostly to that and some other Argentinian music, but like Piazzolla, for example. But a lot of jazz there.
And when you listen to a recording like Kind of Blue, you know, for a month or two at a time, or Dexter Gordon or John Coltrane, what happens over time as you get to know those recordings? How is the transformation in that process of listening so much?
I think that that's an excellent question. And I think what happens is that you end up having a very personal, summarized version of what the pieces are. So there are certain chords, certain sonorities that for me, and only for me, I think, summarize, I don't know, Blue and Green, you know? That part with the, it's like I hear the first and second chords and the major third going down with this chord with you know, the sharp nine. And I said, like, that for me is Blue and Green. And that is what I think happens after listening. There's something that stays in your head and it's only yours. Thank you.
Did you ever play along with those records, or it was like, hey, you know, put on Kind of Blue and say, let me see what it sounds like with me playing along?
Yeah, just for transcription, for learning, but a few of them. But it's not that I did that too much. But
in case you didn't know it, the music we just heard was Miles Davis's Blue and Green from Kind of Blue, that classic recording. Our guest this evening on Flipside is Jorge Variego, who's teaching here at the University of Tennessee. He teaches composition and theory. Also, he's a composer in his own right as well. So tell me about when you got the Fulbright. Did you think you were actually going to land that, you know, very prestigious scholarship?
No. That wasn't the first time I applied. What happened is that in Argentina, there was a foundation that helped artists with a little bit of stipend if you wanted to study abroad or do something outside of your country. So sometimes they gave you the okay, but if the host university didn't have a space for you, then, you know, you would get a temporary moment of happiness because of you passed the first stage and the national selection. But then when they send it here or to Europe, the people here may not like what you do or may not have a space for you, may not be interested in your proposal. So that happened the first time. And I was bummed, you know, I was like, oh man, I was writing my pieces and playing my pieces. And I had a couple of good recordings of me playing with a string orchestra, one of my works and some standards. And I thought that was it. I mean, I would have accepted myself, let's put it like that. And the first year didn't happen. And then I tried to go with the same material for the second time, and I got it. So big change.
Do you remember where you were when you got the news that you got it?
Yeah. I was. I remember that. It's not that I believe in witchcraft or anything, but you know, my son at that time, he was very little. He was one or two, and one, I think. And I made him, like, you know, caress the envelope when I would send the applications. So I said, you know, Manuel, like, give me good luck. So I did that, but then I got it. So I don't know if that means anything, but I do remember that. I still ask him for, you know, to, you know, but I don't think that works. After they turn two, it doesn't work anymore.
That's a shame, because I was going to see if Manuel would be able to, like, caress our tax return this year and see if we get a better return on it.
Yeah.
So you got the Fulbright. You go to Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon. You end up at Florida for the PhD. You spend some time in the Midwest, the Netherlands as well. But eventually you wind up here in Knoxville. It doesn't seem like you'll end up at Tennessee. Yeah. But you did.
Yes. That was very, very special for many reasons. One of them is that I was, you know, when you're looking for jobs, you're looking for opportunities that will fit what you can do, right? And this one here looked like I would be able to teach theory in comp, which was what I was doing in North Dakota. So I said, like, you know, I've done it, I have experience it, I can do it well. And so they invited me for the interview. I came from the from the Netherlands. I flew, and I was, well, I like it. Maybe. So then I started the year after. I found out that, you know, they wanted to use me in the best way possible. They wanted to make me do things that I knew how to do. It sounds silly, but it's not. So, you know, with my colleagues there in the area, they told me, well, what would you like to do? I'm teaching my theory classes, which I like, and I also developed the Electroacoustic Ensemble, which is a space chamber music group for, you know, free improvisation with electronic media. And now I have a few students that do electronic music. So that was something that made it very special. It's important to learn from your students, to be able to feed back from them. And that happens when you're doing what you actually enjoy. So that is working, yeah.
Now let me ask you, and you gave us several recordings here. I have to say, I absolutely love these recordings.
Thank you.
They're wonderful. What can you tell me about Regress? Regress.
Well, that is something I put together when I was in North Dakota. There's a little bit of support from the university and some other institutions. And that CD, it's called Regress because I wanted to go back to the roots. So I commissioned pieces from composers, from Argentinian composers that I knew. Some of them I had worked in the past, some of them I hadn't. So I asked them, would you write me a piece for this project? And that's what I did.
You are listening to Flipside. That is the music of Jorge Variego from his recording Regress, Clarinet and Electronics, a track called Musica Nocturna. Well, at least a little sample of it. And tell me about the CD Necessity.
So that CD was something it's completely different. There's a lot of ensembles and my works mainly. There's a jazz tune. I recorded a version of God Bless the Child because I was listening to Eric Dolphy all the time then. I said, well, maybe I will include it there. And I don't know if I would do anything like that now. But at that time, it was meaningful. I liked it. I was playing that piece all the time. And just wanted to get that out of my system. But I think it worked. I like it. Yeah.
No, I love it. Again, our guest on this evening's Flipside, composer and professor Jorge Variego. He teaches in the music department at UT, composition and theory. He also is involved in the New Music Festival that will be coming up again this fall. Looking very forward to that. I'm going to let him have the last word and the last note. He brought his bass clarinet, so take it away.